Welcome to season two of Seagull Eagle. We made it further than Brighton in Europe, and unlike Palace, submitted our paperwork in time for the new season.
We took a short break last week, partly because I was on crutches. Turns out even my legs didn't want to carry on after Palace's transfer window so far, and partly because Neil needed some time to count how many Brighton players are actually registered at the club. But we're back now, slightly healthier, slightly more optimistic, and loads to get through.
We've got you covered. Transfers in, transfers out, and that one bloke who swears he was just dropping a mate off at Heathrow. The opinions are louder, but the budget's the same. Oh, and Andy still thinks Palace are winning the Europa League.
Really?
This is Seagull Eagle.
Hello, Andy.
All right, Neil?
Yes, mate, I'm good, thank you. More importantly, how are you?
I'm all right. We've had people worried about us on socials this week because we went missing. We planned to do one last week. I'd just been in for a minor operation in the hospital and was still slightly, let's say, riding off of the tablets after the surgery. And Neil was like, do you want to do a podcast? I was like, I don't think it's legally good to do a podcast in the state that I'm in. So we decided to give it a miss, mainly because of the operation and mainly because Palace still had absolutely nothing to say for themselves.
I think that's what it was more. I think you were just like, I can't really go on another week with saying there's nothing happening.
Yeah. So no, I'm all good, thanks, mate. apart from the crutches, which aren't good for the street cred, but wonderful. I tell you what, everyone's lovely when they speak to you when you're on crutches. You get some wonderful stuff. They really do, honestly. The best seats in the house.
Really?
People talk to you. Blimey. Yeah, it's wonderful. Get out of your way when you're walking down the road. Yeah. Yeah, you can borrow them if you want.
No, look, it's good to see you. I'm glad you're well.
Thank you.
We have got, because we've missed a week, we've got a lot to talk about this week, haven't we?
Oh, mate, we have. There's a lot to get through.
We are going to have to do that a little bit. We're going to have to sort of zip through because I don't want this to be a 3-hour pod, really.
Yeah. One thing we should mention at this point, we've reached season two.
Good point. Season two.
Right.
I felt like it was the right moment as we had a break. We've got proper games next week.
Yeah.
Sounds like the right time to say we're here, season two.
We are quite rightly celebrating something that we've announced ourselves and made up ourselves, but we're in season two.
No one else was going to do it.
Do you want to say?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
Well, I know. Who thought we'd make it this far? As I said in the intro, the budget's the same. We're a little bit louder, but, you know, we're going to keep going. And I've enjoyed it. I don't know about you.
Mate, it's been an absolute blast. And I'm really looking forward to doing this from the start of the season.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
For
those of you who haven't kind of listened from the start, we started halfway through. In fact, it wasn't planned this way in any way, shape or form. But when Neil asked me to go down the pub and went, Andy, fancy doing a podcast? And I, of course, said he was mad and said many other things at the time. Funny enough, the game that was coming up was the Brighton Palace game. So we started it off in the Brighton Palace game, which felt like the right way to do
it. Oh, absolutely. Especially when the red cards and
mate,
all the goals.
All over the place.
It seemed like the right time, didn't it?
But for this season, to be able to sit down, potentially we talked that maybe next week about doing some predictions for next season and looking at what you know how it's all going to pan out. I'm really looking forward to that. So yeah, season two, bring it on, Neil. Come on.
Well, we've got a lot to look forward to. So let's get through some of the business that's happened over the last couple of weeks.
Oh, crap. 2 weeks worth of Brighton business. We're going to be here a while.
No. Confirmed transfers. Let's do that. We always start with that. So let's do that. Brighton and Hove Albion confirmed transfers for the last 10 days or so. Purvis Estupiñán, as we talked about, was a rumour, but I called it and it happened. AC Milan came in eventually with the right number, and that right number was £15 million with £1.5 million add-ons.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't you call that about 14?
Yeah, I said it would probably be about 15 because we bought him for 17 and we tend not to lose much money. And if you think about it, if the add-ons work, then basically it's been like for like almost.
That's a good move to him. Much better club.
Wow. Andy's feeling better. I won't even bother with that.
Yeah.
No, good move for him, AC Milan. And we've got our replacement in already, obviously, as we know. So De Kuyper starts the last few games and I've seen a little bit of him and I can talk about him and how he's been getting on. Other confirmed transfers out of the club. Kjell Scherpen, who was one of our goalkeeping, many hordes of goalkeepers that we've got.
Okay.
A little bit older, more mature. We bought him quite a few years ago now, probably about three, four seasons ago. He's been on loan a lot of places. And he has been bought finally, so a permanent sale to Union Saint-Gilloise.
Where were they?
the Belgian league, and right. Tony knows them very well. Let's put it like that.
Oh, is it one of his clubs?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
1.75 million reported, and that was done about a week ago now, I think. So, yeah, that's him off the...
So they didn't actually want the player, they're just balancing the books.
Yeah, I mean, I think the goalkeeper market, we do a lot of it, as I've talked about it before, and we've got a lot of them, and yeah. there's good market for it. The other news that I've got from a confirmed transfers point of view are all loans, but the first one, we talked a lot about it, so I won't go into it too much, but Evan Ferguson was confirmed just after we finished our podcast all that time ago. So just to be clear for the numbers perspective, it was a loan for the season with a buy option, and the buy option eventually came out as £32 million.
That's a lot.
Plus... the loan fee was £2.6 million. So they've got to pay that no matter what, 2.6. It's, yeah, I don't know. I'm just thinking that's a lot of money. But if he comes good for the age that he is...
Of course.
That could be a bargain.
Do you know what's interesting in all of that? You don't often see the loan fees be kind of openly discussed, do you? And that's quite an interesting one that, you know, everyone kind of thinks, oh, I'm going out on loan. And it's like, you don't realise that that's £2.6 million.
Amazing, isn't it?
Without any kind of sell on or anything like that. That's just money going. It's like renting a house, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Mad. And it's a lot of money. But we'll see. I really do hope he does well. And I really hope that he gets the goals that he needs. He's been banging in goals straight away from the first couple of games he's had for them, all friendlies, obviously, but he's already got about 4 or 5 goals. So
good on him.
We'll see. And then more recently, we have had another couple of, well, I say couple, 3 loans. So Carl Rushworth, who the other goalkeeper
that
we talked about. Yep. So he's finally gone out on loan to Coventry, which will be a very good move for him. No sign of a new contract, which we've talked about on...
You rate him, didn't you?
I do. I really do. I think he's a very good goalkeeper. And we will see next... Well, this season, I should say now. Well, I can officially say this season, we'll see.
Do you reckon he'll start a Cov?
Yeah, 100%.
See, in that case, then, that's a great move. Because that's saying... Well, you know, that's a championship team going for the Prem again for like third, fourth year in a row.
Yeah.
And that's a real... Yeah, that's like... Do well on this one, you've got a chance, innit?
And then another 2 loans, Andy, on top of that as well. Crikey. So we've got Caelan Vickers, which I've talked about. He had a couple of games in the friendlies at the pre-season. He's gone to Barnsley on loan. He's one of our young wingers. And then finally, the last one to go out the door was Aaron Cashin, who's one of our centre-backs, Irish left-sided centre-back.
Okay.
He's going on loan to Birmingham. Now, Birmingham obviously are the big hitters in the championship now, having come up with all the money in the world, it seems like they've got. And he's going to join James Beadle, who's obviously our goalkeeping hero from the under-21s, who's at Birmingham as well. So they'll be both there. So I'll be keeping a keen eye on the championship this season with all those guys out there.
Didn't they just beat Nottingham Forest in a friendly?
That's right, yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, it's all go at the moment. I mean, Birmingham, they've got it all to play for. They've got the money, a bit like Wrexham, I suppose, in that sense. But I just feel like Birmingham are a little bit better placed with the players they've got. We'll see. And the championship obviously starts this weekend coming.
Yeah.
So I feel so great. I feel energised, mate.
Well, the Scots have started already, haven't they?
Yeah, yeah. And that's not real football. This is real football now. This is real football.
Oh.
Just literally disowned the whole country. Sorry, guys.
I mean, come on.
Sorry. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 players out the door in the last 10 days. Brighton, as we said, doing their business, getting it done. And we'll see what happens from now on. But certainly, they're definitely making space in the car park, as you joked about in the past, Andy. So
absolutely. Well, okay. Well, that's good.
Palace, how are we getting on? Have we got anyone?
Yeah, look, nothing confirmed in.
Right.
But you know what? I'm going to do that thing that I do every week where...
So I just play last week's or something?
Well, no, I think there's a few that I think probably... might happen, actually, probably by the time this comes out. So
that's not an official confirmed transfer.
No, I know. We'll talk about them, some of them later. And obviously, sorry if the time crosses in terms of when we're doing it. But what I can do is tell you about the confirmed loans that we've got going out.
Some of our
younger players, and also someone that a lot of people might have actually forgotten about.
Oh, yeah, go on.
Rob Holding.
Oh, yes. Yeah. We talked about him a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? We said we didn't know what was going to go on with him, but got an answer now, have we?
Yeah, I mean, look, he's only made one first-team appearance for the club since he signed. He reportedly, in fact, Glasner kind of has pretty much said it. He basically fell out with Glasner after the one game that he played. They were on the pitch. You know when they do that kind of, do they call it a warm down?
Yeah, that's
after
right.
The game where they do the laps and all this.
Mm.
And there was some kind of falling out. Maybe Glasner wanted him to do one more and he didn't. I don't know what happened. And he ended up getting demoted to the under 21s. So this guy obviously signed from Arsenal for £4 million, ended up playing with the under 21s. He got loaned out last year to Sheffield United. And even at Sheffield United, Neil, only got 12 appearances last year. And then, ultimately a failed move all round.
Yeah.
So what do you do in that situation? Go and play in the MLS.
Oh, he's gone to the MLS.
Colorado Rapids.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So he's gone on holiday, hasn't he? Let's be honest.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So. Yeah. Yeah. So it's a bit of a weird one, this. He's actually left on a free transfer, even though he still had a year left on his contract. So we've kind of terminated it.
Right. Okay.
It's not a good situation for anybody. And no. I would imagine we paid £4 million for him. Imagine what he's earning.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
freeing up the wages.
Yeah, yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah.
So anyway, yes. Goodbye, Rob. It's been lovely. we've loved having you wearing the red and blue for that one time. It's funny because when he first signed as well, there was a lot of raised eyebrows, which that's a bit of a weird one.
Why?
It just didn't seem to fit.
Oh, okay.
It just didn't seem to fit. You know when you sign a player and you're like, well, you must know, you sign hundreds. I mean, and it just didn't feel right. And I think
we had a few of those. When we first got to the Premier League, there were a few of those, two or three that you looked at and you thought, what's that one about? I remember one, we signed a guy called, Brighton fans will remember this, we signed Lacardia.
Okay.
Jurgen Lacardia, Dutch centre forward. And you know when you're signing a centre forward and you haven't got a clue who they are, sort of thing. And I remember him coming in and immediately, as soon as he'd been on the pitch 5 minutes, everyone was going, "What's this about?" You know,
get it?
Yeah.
I just think it was, you know, like that period, which we're going to get to soon, where all the big clubs have done their business, and then you get to that point where clubs of our size kind of look at that list and look at the shopping window and what's left, and then someone goes, "Yeah, but what if we?" What if we went for him?
Mm.
And really? And £4 million? £4 million. Let's do it. You know, like that kind of like rush by at the end.
Yeah.
And then
all
of a sudden you end up with him. Yeah. Anyway, that's what happened. Right. Next one is David Ozo.
David Ozo.
Yeah. I think I pronounced that right.
Nice. Okay.
David Ozo. Now, I actually like this guy. He's a 20-year-old midfielder,
right.
Young lad. He broke into the first team under Roy Hodgson.
Blimey.
Back in 2023.
Okay.
So it was back in the day when we were doing all right under Roy, you know, like steady,
yeah,
mid-table.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Roy did all right.
And this guy came in straight from the youth team and he was our youngest ever Premier League player.
Got it.
He even got in younger than Wilf when he first broke in. And this guy looks like a 35-year-old man.
Oh,
like, he's not a kid. Do you know what I mean? He's one of them. And
he's grown up quickly.
He
Andy.
Really has. But he plays like that as well, right?
Okay.
So you can see why he's made his way up quick. And I do believe he's got a really good future with us.
He's
a very dominant midfielder, really good player
sort of box
ball.
To box.
Yeah,
of,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
Okay.
And just kind of, you don't mess with him.
Yeah, yeah, gotcha. So what's happened to him then?
He basically was out in Derby, on loan at Derby last year.
Right.
And they've asked for him back.
Oh, okay.
He only managed 12 appearances because he had a bit of injury and all that kind of stuff last year. So, yeah, I think going back there seems like a really sensible decision, given the fact that that was his chance to shine. It kind of didn't work because of his injuries. So
yeah.
He's now got another crack at it. So hopefully we get him back at the end of next year and he'll be, you know, he'll be hopefully on the bench ready to prove himself again.
Yeah, I mean, any sort of loan for a young player coming from a Premier League team into the Championship,
yeah.
I think that's a great loan, isn't it? You know, it gives them so many games, so many opportunities. It's such a tough league.
Of course.
I think that's fantastic for them.
And he has proved himself in the Premier League.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
but I'm saying to get that consistency,
of course,
great,
that's what I mean, yeah.
So who else have we got? Anyone else? Is that it?
We've got Teo Adamarola. He's one of our left wing backs. He's like one of the kids at the club.
Right.
He's got a bright future ahead of him. He's done really, really well in the youth teams.
Right, okay.
Getting good numbers, good stats. He's one for the future and he's been involved in a lot of the pre-season bits and pieces, you know, certainly kind of has done well on the fringes.
Mm-hmm.
He was on loan at Bradford last season and did really well. And he's now just joined Leighton Orient on loan in League One.
Oh, okay.
So, again, one for the future, but I think it's sensible to get him out there.
Yeah, and it's a good loan as well. Leighton Orient play really good football, and yeah. They're a really attacking side, so that will be very good for him. That's okay. Well, that's good, Andy. You're getting a bit of business done. I know it's not quite the business that you want, but at least things are happening. You're getting players out. They're going to grow. They're going to develop while they're out. You're getting the dead wood out. Withholding goal,
yeah, I mean,
you know. So
well, you've only got 17 first team players,
and then Mr. Glasner, he had a few words, didn't he? Can we talk about that at some point?
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. But yeah, no, I think if you could stick around long enough and listen to us long enough, you'll hear about some of the rumours later.
Okay.
But I think the that wasn't for you, Neil. Hopefully, you stick around.
Do I have to?
Yeah, if you can. But I've got a feeling that we are on the cusp of a good few people coming in now, and the people that we've been linked with. I'm quite impressed with. So let's see what happens.
Yeah. Being linked and actually happening, mate, that's another matter.
Oh, I know that.
Club news, other club news.
Yeah, go on. What's going on?
Well, let's talk about a few things. Obviously, there's quite a lot of sort of administration things going on at Palace that we probably need to touch on.
We're well good at admin, mate.
Yeah, there's definitely some work there needed. The only thing I was going to mention, really, from a Brighton perspective, was there was a few rumours around Adam Webster and him getting an injury a few weeks back. And then it was confirmed by the club whilst we were off that he has, unfortunately, done his ACL. Yeah.
Is that a full season?
That's pretty much. I wouldn't expect to see him this year, put it that way. So we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, so really sad news for Adam, especially when he had really good end to the season last season. Played quite a few games, did really well for us. So yeah, it's disappointing. Likely to miss most of the season, I would imagine. I mean, we've done all right with centre-backs, obviously, in the transfer market recently.
You bought a defence, haven't you?
We definitely did. So we do, you know, if you think about the number of players we have in the centre-back position. Aaron Cashin, who's gone out on loan now, so they were comfortable with that, even with Webster getting injured, because we've got Duncan Van Heck, which obviously we know about, but we've got Boscagli, Coppola, and we've even got Igor, and I'm not sure what's happening with him. There were rumours at the beginning that he might go out to Real Sociedad, but I know they've just bought another centre-back, so we'll have to see what's happening with him. But we're okay in that department. So it's just sad news for Adam and you know, get well soon. And I hope, you know, he gets on the road to recovery as soon as possible. But that was the main news coming out of Brighton that wasn't related to transfers or anything. I think we really have got quite a bit to talk about with Palace though, haven't we?
Before we do that though, can I just address something? So just as a disclaimer, I didn't hear fully our Roman reporter from Spain's full report until I was sat in the hospital waiting for my operation. Two weeks ago. And I just wanted to address something, if it's okay with you, Neil, that Gary did a brilliant job on that report.
He did, didn't
right?
he? Yeah.
Thank you, Gary.
Yeah.
Loved listening to it.
Mm-hmm.
But there was one little bit of it that I was a little bit shocked about.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about.
Did Gary not claim that Brighton would be competing for top six next year?
Oh, no,
was
no.
That
he
not,
did, he did
was that
definitely
not,
claim that.
I thought maybe it might have been
or... Beer in hand, he definitely claimed that.
He did, didn't he?
Yes, yes, yes. He believes.
And I just wanted to ask, I mean, again, not digging out, Gary, because you could be right, right? And I, being a Palace fan, I'm looking at the way you've done things this year and I'm like, do you know what? I think you will have a good year.
Mm.
I genuinely do.
Mm.
But I just wanted to ask you, do you actually think Gary's lost it with that comment? It's top six.
Look, we can have a proper long chat maybe next week about what our actual predictions are. But what I would say is I think when you look at any Premier League season, there's always a couple of surprises every season, whether that be big teams not performing or a smaller team doing it extra well. So I would hope that we are one of the surprises, even more of a surprise than normal. And I would expect one big team at least not to be performing at the level that they would be expected to be performing at. That could possibly be Newcastle, in my opinion. So we'll have to wait and see.
Top six.
But yeah, Gary was very much, look, that's not my opinion, that's Gary's. And he was very much...
And he's entitled to that.
He's a lifelong Brighton supporter. He's earned his right to say what he thinks. He's well behind the team. And yeah, he thinks sixth. Yeah, that's what he will.
And
top
look, he's clearly got a good knowledge of what's going on. So yeah, I'm not digging him out on it.
He's positive about it. He's very brave
thing to say. Yeah, fair play, Gary.
Yeah.
So look, from Palace's point of view, here's a weird one. We've just been drawn in a competition that we're not meant to be playing in.
Yeah, Conference League draw. So that was the, it wasn't the full draw, was it? It wasn't what, you didn't even qualify for that, did you? It was like the preliminary or something.
This is the point where I'll start losing it in this pod now, isn't it?
Before we started this podcast, everyone, Andy was trying to explain to me what the draw was that Palace just got drawn into, and I still don't really understand it. So explain to me.
Right.
Crystal Palace have just been drawn against who?
Right. So, well, it's not even one team.
That's my point.
But this is the absolute mickey take out of the whole situation, right? You go, well done for winning the FA Cup, into the Europa League. Oh, no, actually, you're in the Conference League. Oh, no, actually, you're not.
You're not even in the Conference League yet, are you?
So we've now been drawn for a playoff, right? So therefore, basically, on the, I think it's the 14th of this month, I think.
Yeah, it's quite soon.
There's a playoff between FC Midtjylland or FFK.
Yeah, right? Midtjylland, yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
That's it, yeah.
Right, so them two teams are going to play each other.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
We don't play the winner, Neil.
So this was the bit that I you lost me at. Sorry, so there's a playoff.
So them two teams are going
to
play.
But then whoever wins obviously has to play Crystal Palace because Crystal Palace won the FA Cup, Andy. They must be a big team in the Conference League.
We play the loser and the winner, guess what?
What?
They go into the Europa League.
Well, it's only right and proper. I mean, that's amazing. So you have to watch these two teams play.
And these are teams that have come like, I don't know, 7th and 8th in their own leagues.
Yeah, I mean, well, you did come 12th, so I mean, you're lucky.
The FA Cup, mate.
You know, you're lucky to get in the Conference League. So what... So let's just get this right then. So these two teams are playing.
Yep.
Whoever wins that game goes to the Europa League.
Yep.
Whoever loses gets to play the honour of playing Crystal Palace.
We're the consolation prize.
And then, so if you don't win that game, you're not even in the Conference League.
No.
Wow.
No. And that game would take place on Thursday, the 21st of August at Selhurst Park. And then the second leg on the 28th of August, a week later, away.
Okay, so let's put a pin in that for a second, right? So Europa League, Court of Arbitration of Sport, the whole thing that's going on with that, what's the dates with all of that then? Because isn't that like around that time as well?
Well, we've got the CAS appeal is going to happen on the 8th of August, which I believe is, Friday.
This Friday, yeah, okay. So people listening may know already, but let's hope and...
Well, yeah, if you're not quick off the mark to listen to the pod, you probably know already, yeah. So
right,
8th of August, but they've said quite publicly that there's no verdict to be expected until the 11th.
Okay.
Right, so we'll find out.
So at the latest, we'll have something definite. One way or the other, there's no extra appeal after that either.
That's it.
The deadline is the 11th of August at the latest.
Yeah.
Palace will know one way or the other, Europa League or Conference League.
And then 10 days later, we're meant to be playing in this qualifying...
Playoff. Wow.
Consolation prize piss take. Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's where we're at. So, yeah.
Talk about uncertainty, though. Like, that's just unbelievable, isn't it?
Oh, it's utter madness. But yeah, without opening that whole can of worms again, Conference League draw.
Still laughing at the fact you play the losers.
honestly, I mean, how can you even write that? But do you know what? One of two things happens here.
Mm.
We win the Conference League, right?
Yeah, I mean, West Ham won it. So
that would be a hell of a story, even if we do. But I swear down, right?
It's getting serious, everyone.
We will win that appeal. I promise you now.
You're going to win the appeal and you'll be in the Europa League.
I've got no doubt.
Okay.
And do you know what will happen? We'll get in the Europa League and we'll probably get knocked out after, you know, the first few games.
I mean, that's the irony of it all, isn't it? In a genuine question, Andy.
Yeah.
Without all of the other rubbish going around it, all the politics, if this wasn't the case, if this was just Crystal Palace, you've won the FA Cup, you have a choice. As a fan, if you had a choice of going into the Europa League or the Conference League, what would you rather be in?
I would choose the Europa League because
you would.
I mean, well, look,
even though there's very good chance that you would get a European trophy by winning the Conference League, going into the Conference League.
Yeah.
Do you see my point? Like, you've got a really good chance.
No, I get it. I absolutely get it. But also, you win the Europa League, you get into the Champions League.
What? Well, yeah, I know. And if my mother was at... No, anyway, look, the point is the Conference League is very winnable. Europa League, I would say you've probably... I don't even know what the odds would be for you winning the Europa League. Probably about 20-1 or something, let's say.
Yeah.
You know, you're probably one of the top 8 teams, 10 teams in the Europa League.
Yeah.
Whereas in the Conference League, you are going to be the top team. You will be the number one favourite for the Conference League.
Surely not.
Premier League. It's only one club every league that goes into the Conference League. So there's no other countries. If only one
don't,
club
don't
per country.
Some of the Europa League teams drop into it or anything like that?
Anymore, not anymore. Not since the new changes.
Oh, okay.
So from last season onwards, you're only one club per country. So Crystal Palace are going to be clearly the top favourites to go to win that if they're in it.
No, like, I get Nottingham it. Forest, I mean, it's an opportunity to get, well, in essence, the third trophy within a year, right? Because obviously we've got the one coming up on Sunday and then you get that. I get that. But also, I think, look, you look at it under progression, don't you? And you go, you're in the Europa League, you can push on, and that's what we were meant to have done this winter, but we haven't been allowed to.
Look, I get your point. We were the same. Brighton were the same. A lot of fans wanted us to be in the Europa League, didn't really want us to be in the Conference League. I personally don't understand it, because, you know, you win the Conference League, which, let's be honest, there's a really good chance you would do. You're in the Europa League next season automatically.
Is that a thing?
You keep going through it by winning it. So, you know, I don't know. It's interesting. I just wanted your opinion, so thank you. I appreciate
I'll be honest
that.
With you, Neil. I genuinely don't care either way. It's that whole thing about, to put it into one sentence, it's morally what's right.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No,
and
I agree.
For me,
I agree.
I know there's loads of arguments.
No,
but
on the
me,
football side, mate, it's morally right.
We won that competition. Yeah. We should be in it. And ironically, we'll probably do worse by being in it. That's the truth of the matter. Let's be honest. We all know that. But anyway, we'll find out. And the truth is, next time we do the podcast, we will probably know.
We'll have a definitive. Absolutely.
Yeah.
What else? There are a couple of other things, aren't there, Palace-wise as well. It's going to be a bit Palace-heavy at the moment, but I think that's because there's so much going on. You've got a new owner.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago because obviously as part of Steve Parrish's Kaz kind of appeal speech and Sky Sports interview when he was nearly crying about the whole situation and all that, he did mention about the fact that Woody Johnson had kind of completed, but it hadn't kind of fully gone through.
No, it was still with the Premier League, wasn't it?
Correct. I don't think there was any doubt that he was going to be okay because obviously former ambassador and all the other bits and pieces. But yeah, Woody Johnson, the earbud bloke and the Showerdale guy and all that and the soap, he's completed his purchase of John Textor's 43% stake in the club for about 190 million, which for a guy who's worth 6.8 billion pounds.
It's just like an expensive dinner, isn't it, for him?
Exactly. That's like me going down to McDonald's. So, yes, he signed the Premier League owner's charter and obviously will join the board of Steve Parrish, Josh Harris and David Blitzer. And it's said to be the same deal. Pretty much.
Like for like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
And he said, do you want the official quote?
Oh, have you got a quote? I love a quote. Go on.
He says, I'm honoured and privileged to be joining the ownership group of Crystal Palace Football Club. It is an organisation with a proud history, tradition and deep roots in English football in South London, which I came to admire during my time as US ambassador to the United Kingdom. Eagles fans have demonstrated extraordinary loyalty, passion and unwavering dedication, and I'm excited to meet and get to know them.
Oh, isn't that lovely?
I'll be looking out for him at Wembley next week.
Yeah, looking for a nice Woody. Right, so... Ooh. What I was going to say next, right? You know what's coming. Crystal Palace in crisis.
Are we in crisis yet?
Oh, you're definitely in crisis. Your manager sounds like he's looking for a way out already.
Ah, okay. I know where you're going with here. Right. Yeah. So... No. Yeah, no, look.
No, he's not happy, is he? Let's be honest.
I'll give you my honest opinion on it, as I always will. The Glasner got interviewed, because obviously we went to Austria for the pre-season games.
Training camp and friendlies.
Some of the most picturesque friendlies I've ever seen.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
And obviously at the end of the game, the first game in Austria, all of his national media that he's used to dealing with at home were there. Interviewing him in his mother tongue.
Right.
And
he thought, oh, the internet doesn't work anymore. No one will hear it in the UK, so I can just say whatever I feel.
Well, I feel like there is that kind of barrier that probably went down a little bit. I'm not going to lie.
Have you got the quotes?
I have, actually, funny enough, because I knew you were going to bring this up.
I brought them with me in case you didn't, I definitely wanted to hear this. So, yeah, go on, then you do it, and I'll...
He said, even though all the players are still here, we haven't made the most of the transfer window so far. I was promised that we would be more active and bring in new players earlier this year.
I was promised, Andy.
Yeah.
I was promised.
We've still got 2 weeks. As of now, gets a bit worse. As of now, I've got 17 outfield players.
Blimey.
I hope we don't lose any more. If that happens and we get 4 new ones on deadline day like last year, another full start is possible.
Blimey. Well, you talked about this a few weeks back and you were really hot on this and you said you were calling out the fact that at the beginning of last season, as all Palace fans will know, a terrible start to the season, And Glasner, even back then and in the beginning of the season and the middle of the season, blamed it on the fact that he didn't get any signings really over the line very early, didn't have time to work with the squad, all that sort of stuff. And they've done it again, mate.
Well, it was, he said it. I mean,
you've literally got your first game proper of the season on Saturday.
I'll be honest with you, Neil, you don't need to kind of stick the knife in on this one, because I'm on the same boat as you.
It's crazy, isn't it?
I'm annoyed about the situation, but I'm also not surprised, because not only did I called this when the High Performance Podcast, it was on, I'm sure it
was. Yeah.
And he said the reason for the bad start was because I only had a week to work with players in an intricate system where you need time to work out the system, and you can't just get a player in and stick him in the squad, right? So, and obviously now the same thing's happened again, but let's just all be honest here, right? The signs from the outside looking in, because that's all we can do. We can all make assumptions and we can all make big statements, but no one really knows, apart from the people that are inside, what's actually happened. But what it looks like to me, you look at the fact that there's been quite a few people that were looking like they were going over the line. Yes. Diamande's
the big one, isn't it? That's been going on for
a few others that have been mentioned as well. That, I believe, would have all happened a month ago if none of this CAS stuff and UEFA stuff and all the other bits and pieces would have happened. There's some big players that when they found out we won the FA Cup were like, actually, do you know what? Yeah, I will come. And then all of a sudden are like, let's see what happens.
I find it so strange though, mate. I honestly do. I find it really strange that you couldn't get more than you currently have over the line, even without knowing whether you've got... I mean, even 2 weeks ago, it is now, you were told you had European football guaranteed.
Yeah, and that was... But that, you got to remember, though, people have been saying that quite openly online, but it wasn't until 2 weeks ago that we did actually know that. Right?
So all of the ones that you had, all of the signings that theoretically you should have had lined up going, right, just need to sign this. Well, I'm going to wait until I know about you. Fair enough, fair enough. Now we know we've got at least Conference League football, at least. Please sign on the dotted line. And we've had nothing.
Yeah, no, I get it. I get it.
And you know, going back to the point of why I raised this, Glasner's comments shows, it's a very public show of frustration. You know, it's polite and it's in his mother tongue, but ultimately he's not happy. He's frustrated, you could tell from those comments. There's no way a manager comes out and says stuff like that, especially not Glasner. He's not that type of person.
He's really not.
He's not. And so that shows that he's not happy with the situation. If they have a bad start and you get Conference League football, I mean... I'm not sure you'll be there. I'm not sure you'll be there at Christmas.
Okay, the only thing that's different from last year, though, let's just rewind a very quick little bit here, right? Which is that last year, Glasner had only he'd only come in the previous season. We'd had that lovely run at the end.
Yes, yeah.
But, like, we've achieved a lot last year and we've still got that same team. Every single player that was in that team that won the FA Cup and went on that remarkable run, which from January we would have ended up nearly in the top six.
No, I totally get you.
So
totally
everyone you. That is still there is there, plus a new goalkeeper and Borna Sosa, pretty much. So in terms of, are we in a worse place? No.
You are in a worse place because you've got more games and they're like literally round the corner.
No, get it. I get it. But what I'm trying to say is we're not in a worse place than we were this time last year.
Okay.
Because we have had time on a pre-season tour to work on Glasner's thing with that first team. The example being, Borna Sosa's come in. Will Borna Sosa start the Community Shield? I don't think he will.
No.
I think they'll play, because that team that they played in the last friendly, we'll talk about in a minute, that was the team that was the team last year. So do you get what I mean?
I agree with all the point.
I think we could have done so much more and I'm well disappointed, but I'm not quite as scared as I was this time last year.
I totally take your point. I think the worst thing about all of this is the fact that Glasner's had to come out and say it. And I think that just shows that he's frustrated and upset.
Well, did he have to come out and say it, Neil?
Because he's felt like he's had to. That's my point, though. That's the whole point of this, isn't it? The whole reason of him coming out and saying it is to embarrass people.
Oh, mate, and I'm with you. But I guess my point, which is probably more on your side than my side, is there's a very open and transparent table that's being shown online at the moment, which is how much has each club spent, right? Yeah. And Palace are firmly at the bottom of that table. Do you know how much we spent?
What, a million or something?
£3 million.
£3 million. There you go.
That's all we've spent. Yeah. And that's not net or anything like that. And then you compare that to Sunderland and, you know, whatever. Oh, man. Anyway.
Look, we'll see. But I
don't
had to bring it up.
Glasner. We love you.
I had to bring it up because it just it's not looking good. And obviously, there's some very unhappy people there. But look, we'll take a break. I'll go and get you a nice coffee, mate, so you can get a little bit...
That'd be nice.
A little bit calmer.
I'm all right.
Sorry I've wound you up.
You haven't, so. Actually. I'm
have you
all
not?
Right.
Oh, yeah, I'll try no, again good. In the second half,
I'm
then.
Good.
All right. We'll see you in a few minutes, guys.
Bye. Welcome back. Even though you've been nowhere, we have. We've had a nice cup of tea, haven't we?
I had a coffee, actually. It was
Did
lovely.
You?
Yeah.
Oh, nice one. Do you want to talk to us about your friendlies then, Neil?
Good point, actually. Yeah, we have had a few games, haven't we, since you were in your deathbed. Yeah, there's been almost three games. It's a bit of a weird one.
Okay.
I'll explain. Last Wednesday, we played a game against Coventry that wasn't televised. It was behind closed doors. And we beat Coventry 2-0.
That was
at the training ground. Yeah, exactly. By the looks of the teams that played, again, getting lots of minutes into different people, the two goals were scored by Ayari, and actually Abdullah Sima came on for the last 10 minutes, scored a goal as well. I think the most important thing about that game was that we got news that Ferdi Kadioglu actually got on the pitch, started playing. We said he'd been training again, got fit. Yeah, exactly. He got his first 25 minutes, and that was since, I think it was November 2024 was his last game time. So really good news to see him out there. The rest of the teams were, you know, a mixture, as we always expect, of the younger lads and the actual first teams that play all the sort of the minutes between them. No Greek lads, though, still.
Well, that's because they're still at school, mate.
Have they broke up for end of term yet? Yeah, exactly. We move on to Saturday, though, and we had the friendly game against Southampton at Southampton, which I went to.
Yeah, you did, didn't you?
First proper day out. Yeah, lovely.
You
I
were
loved
looking
it.
Forward to that.
Oh, I loved it. It was even better when it's an away day that's like an hour and 20 minutes away. It was great.
Yeah. What's it like, the experience down there? Is it a good stadium? Because I think we spoke about this. I've actually always wanted to go down there while they were in the Premier League, and I never made it.
So it's a dated stadium because although it looks pretty new, it's actually been around for a good 25, 30 years almost, I think, now. But the actual stadium, when you're in it, it's inside sitting down and that. It's great watch because there's no pillars, there's nothing like that. It's a 360-degree view. It's really nice. It's quite a loud sound as well because the sound stays in quite well. And it's all one tier all the way around. So, yeah, it's a nice ground in that sense. It's easy to get to, I find.
Yeah.
Great parking around there as well. Lots of people selling their parking spaces that you can go and park.
I always drive past that stadium when I go to IKEA.
Yeah. There you go. That's the important thing, sort of.
Yeah.
So I went with my nephew and we went down there and it was a really good game. Now, the reason I sort of said game there and stuttered for a second is because it was a game and a half. So we didn't know it, but actually about an hour before kickoff, Brighton tweeted out that there had actually been a 60-minute game played in the morning against Southampton on the same pitch for other players in the squad to play. So both Southampton and Brighton, other players. So obviously it's such a big squad and they're trying to get everybody fit. They played a 60-minute game, of which Albion won 1-0. Jeremy Sarmiento actually scoring the winner. Again, so a lot of the players that were on that pitch weren't, I would say, maybe first choice. There was Coppola, Milner, Yelkoi, Buonanotte, Gruda. Welbeck did play, though, on that team as well. So...
quite a strong team.
Well, exactly. We've got such a big squad. It was a very strong team. 1-0, but they only played 60 minutes, which would suggest to me that, again, they're trying to work out the minutes to get everyone fit. Another good bit of news was that Ferdi, again, got on the pitch, played 47 minutes this time. So, again, upped his minutes. No problems by the sound of things. So I'm really pleased that he's coming to full fitness. And I would expect maybe to see him up on the bench maybe by the time we get to the first league game. The game itself, I wanted to talk a little bit about the game. Is that all right?
Mate, you go for it.
Thanks, mate. Appreciate it. We played really intensive, good football, really strong possession, really hard-working, aggressive style of press, all of that sort of stuff for probably 65 minutes, I would say, until probably maybe they started looking a little bit tired. But it was a really good performance up until that point, and I think it shows... what Hertzler's trying to do, he's starting to show a little bit more of his style because it wasn't where last season there were flashes of it.
Yeah.
this last couple of friendlies I've actually watched, you could tell there's a real sort of desire to keep that tempo constant through the whole game. Yankuba Minta scored both of our goals in a 2-2 draw. We actually went 2-0 up, and that was us up until the 65th minute, as I said. So really, I think up until that point, we just completely dominated. Even Dunk, I think, actually tried to score from the halfway line at one point when the goalkeeper was off his line. So it was a really enjoyable watch for most of it. I think when it got to about 70 minutes, you could start to see a lot of the players not quite as fit as Southampton. I mean, Southampton obviously are like a week or so ahead because they've got their first game this week, obviously. Yeah, yeah. So it looked like that as well. Suddenly it got to like 70 minutes and Southampton came into it. They did score two goals, but by then we'd got most of our young lads on as well. So the back four only had Van Heck in it. The rest of them were all young lads that you wouldn't really, or maybe a lot of Brighton fans wouldn't quite know. The only other things that were sort of missing were, I mean, Carlos Baleba was completely missing, which we knew he had a little bit of a knock, so that's a bit of a concern, or at least I thought it was. Jack Insherwood was also missing completely from both games. I'm hoping that was just resting him because he's had a long summer, obviously, as well. Mm. So we'll have to see. But I think overall, I think it's what you expect to see a couple of weeks before the season starts. You know, a lot of
Brighton drawing with a championship team.
There it is.
As you say, look, it's not... This is the thing, isn't it? And it's similar to what I'm about to say. It's not about the score in the end. It's about getting a glimpse of what the manager's looking to do, how they're lining it up, the intensity of play, the style of play, and giving people minutes on the pitch, right?
Yeah,
and if you dominated for that period of time and went 2-0 up and then took half your players off, then fair play, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what I would say, look, I wrote a couple of bullet points on my little notes here, Andy.
I prepped for this.
Go on, Neil. I was looking at it and thinking about the games that I've watched over pre-season and what I thought so far, my sort of takeaways really from the 3, 4, 5 games that I've watched. So some positives are that, obviously, Ferdy getting back up to fitness. I keep mentioning him a lot, but because I really feel he's a really big, you know, player for Brighton, or he will be. I think he's a new signing almost in some respects for us. So I'm really looking forward to seeing him play. So positive is him. Other positive is that De Kuyper looks like he's been playing for Brighton for a few years. He's come straight in. He's looked really good on that left-hand side. He's played both the friendlies that I've watched.
Okay. So he's going to be a starter then?
Definitely, because Purvis has gone. It seems like he's going to be on that left-hand side. And what I would say about him, he already looks mentally like he understands the tactics better than Purvis Estupiñán. And that says a lot, you know, and he's a really good passer of the ball, et cetera, et cetera. So we'll have to see how he gets on in the big games against big opposition. But so far, really positive. The other bit of positive news was that Carlos Baleba, although he's been absent, Hersler did confirm after the game that it has just been a small knock and that he should be back in training this week. So again, in time for the proper league start, hopefully we'll see him. From a downside perspective, my concerns, I've put a couple of bullets here, which is that the two Greek lads, in all seriousness, we haven't seen them at all.
Yeah.
Now, Simas, I know, had a bit of an injury at the end of last season, and Kostoulas obviously is adjusting to life in the UK, like Simas is.
But do you reckon they were signed, though, to go straight into that first team?
I think they were signed to be in that first squad. Yes, yeah, absolutely. If not the bench or whatever, but definitely within that squad. Mm. And it's frustrating not to have seen them. However, again, literally about an hour or so ago, I read some quotes from Fabian Hersler, and he made it clear that they are actually fit. They're okay. There's no problem with them, but they're taking their time with them. And the main reason they're doing that is because it sounds like they've learned their lessons from the beginning of last season, where they've changed the physicality of the training. And these lads have got to get used to something that is very unusual for them, which is the amount of pressure and load they're going to be putting on their bodies. It's a big step up for them. So what they're trying to do is they take their time with them. So I feel more comfortable with having heard Hersler talk about it and saying, look, we're just going to take our time. Yeah. Hopefully we'll see them on the bench, or we might see them here and there. But what we're not going to see them is suddenly starting in the next, you know, 3, 4, 5 weeks yet. But I'd much rather that than then turn up, get injured, and then we don't see them for a whole season.
Well, you've not got to rely on them, have you?
No, exactly that.
So
exactly that.
They can be your mid-season surprise.
That's what I'm hoping for, mate.
Yeah.
Tommy Watson is the other one that we haven't seen. Obviously signed him from Sunderland. We know he had a little bit of an injury, but again, we haven't seen anything from him. I don't have an update on him, so that's another concern. But the good news about Brighton is they always make sure they've got enough players around. We've done our business early. We've got the players in. And Saturday's game against Southampton, you could see that that was probably going to be pretty much, barring maybe one or two, the starting 11 against Fulham, I would expect. So if
that's
goes
the bit I like to learn, which is like, what's that first team lineup on that last friendly of the season?
Yeah.
And is normally how it's going to go,
I think
it?
So. And we've got one more game. We've got one more game against Wolfsburg on Saturday.
Oh, you have, yeah.
Yeah. So that's at home at the Amex. And I would expect to see the same 11 that started there against Southampton, apart from probably Carlos Belaba back in and maybe Danny Welbeck up front. That would be the only changes. We'll have to see. Verbruggen is supposedly fit again as well. So it's all coming good. It's all coming together.
It's good. Are you off to the Amex on Saturday?
I've decided not to, no, because I might not be quite up for it on that day. I've got a few plans. So I've decided to miss that one. I want to get ready for the proper start of the season and be excited for that one. So I'm going to leave that one. But yeah, so that's me. I'll stop going on about it now. But
no, that's good insight, Neil.
It's a lot going on. Been a good pre-season, I think, overall. And I think the one thing from a perspective of tactics and everything from Brighton is that I can clearly see now a change of Hertz's style in that intensity. The intensity is up big time. And if it goes like that for the beginning of the season, we'll be doing all right.
Well, I feel like last year, I mean, you alluded to this, didn't you, that you could see glimpses of what he was trying to do with that team.
Yeah, but I wasn't sure, but there was bits,
due to the injuries and playing people out of position and not, let's be honest, didn't have a defence for half of the second half of the season. So I think it was more about the basic principles had to go in as opposed to the idealistic situation that he probably was in his head. He had to kind of, you know, dull it back, as it were. So it'd be really interesting to see with a full-strength squad what you guys are capable of. And I do think you're going to have a good season this year. I really
Yeah,
do.
I hope so.
Pains me to say it, but...
Yeah, I know, I really hope so. So, yeah, one more friendly next week against Wolfsburg, and then we're in. We're into the big one, mate. Yeah. Fulham at home.
The big one against Fulham. Yeah.
Hey, well, we've only won one game against them for the whole time we've been in the Premier League, and that was the last game with the whole... Belaba rocket, if you remember the last 2 seconds.
So. Also, most expensive season ticket in the Premier League for them, isn't it?
Is it?
I believe so.
Well, mind you, they've got to pay for that horrible stand, haven't they?
Yeah.
It's like teetering on the side of the river, so. Friendlies for Crystal Palace. You've been busy, you lot, haven't you?
Yeah, we've had a few now. So, obviously...
Oh, the Crawley game.
Yeah.
Were you able to go to that one?
No.
Oh, bless you.
I know.
You were talking all about it. You were so excited.
I genuinely gutted, Neil. I was genuinely gutted. And unfortunately, my family went in my place. My son still went.
That's
nice. I gave my mate Chris and his son the other tickets because it was meant to be the four of us that went. But they had a lovely time. And
Could have gone for you. I could have driven them up there. I would have cheered on
You would have got
Crawley.
Absolutely lynched, mate. So they had a lovely day out and I was sat on the sofa feeling sorry for myself at the time.
Did you get to watch it?
Yeah, no, I watched it.
So how was the game?
It was a good game. My son sent me pictures of him in the car park with Jordan Henderson and they met everybody beforehand. It was a lovely little experience. And, I think Crawley, were never going to be the test.
No, of course not. No.
But what we have found out since is that Glasner, in essence, was kind of playing some games, which I didn't realise, and it now makes sense. I know this.
Oh, right.
He came out after the game and said that the instructions were for, I can't remember the exact instructions, but it was almost like 20 minutes of attack, 20 minutes of soaking up. 20 minutes of attack, or whatever it would have been.
Just getting prepared for European football, mate.
Right. So, because it was really, really apparent, it was like, oh, we're looking good. It's like, why are we not pressing?
Yeah, yeah.
And so it was really apparent actually after the game, because to be honest with you, we should have won that game about 8-0, 9-0. We won it 3-0 in the end, and
that's
was
pretty
convincing.
Good. Yeah.
But it kind of explained a lot afterwards. There was goals for Mateta, Eze and Munez. And, Eze nearly scored. I don't know if you can score the goal of the season against Crawley Town.
I saw this on social media, to be fair.
Phenomenal. I think it was the first game that we saw, it feels like a long time ago now, but Borna Sosa, the new sign-in.
Oh, okay. Got a game, did he?
Yeah, he got a game, or most of it. And he looks really comfortable on the ball. And funny enough, very rarely, you know, like when you talk about you know, the player's reputation and what they're good at.
Yeah.
And to be honest, how we described him was how he played.
Really?
Yeah. You know, really comfortable on the ball, great attacking passes.
Good crosser.
Good crosser, good box-to-box play, but an attacking defender. I know it's not the, you know, the way you describe it, but it's true. He's an attacking defender and he was in the right place. And he's going to cause chaos. He will cause chaos. And he's just, he's another option for us. Right. Bearing in mind that, you know, you've got him and Mitchell were the two options. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I like the fact of what I saw on him. And my initial things were Eze and Mateta have picked up where they left off last year,
right,
which was great. A couple of kids got an opportunity to play as well, but Crawley Town, tick, done.
Yeah.
Nice experience, nice day out for the family.
Good minutes in the legs.
Yeah, we move on. And then, of course, the team headed out to Austria last Saturday.
Right.
As I said earlier, beautiful training facilities out there.
Yeah, that's like, beautiful, isn't it?
It's made me want... the first thing I said when I sat there and watched that with my son last week was... We should have gone to this, obviously, if I wasn't injured. But we, you know, wouldn't that have been an amazing experience? Go to Austria, you know, go to that beautiful place. And I mean, mate, there was a handful of Palace fans there. It looked like a flipping VIP area. They had umbrellas, a beer by the side of it. And
so is this, so it was open for people to go and see like the games and things, was it? Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah,
How did the games go? What happened?
Well, look, two games, it was 60 minutes a pop. Right, so there
was a complete
swap for each game. So the first game was the strongest lineup of two games, mostly what would be deemed as the first team, but a bit of a weird situation because when you've only got 17 players to play with, you can't have two teams because the maths don't work.
Yeah, so you probably need to do some more signings, mate.
So obviously we had a lot of the youth team there. So what they did was they played Lerma in defence with Richards and gave a debut to Jemaday, who's an 18-year-old defender from the academy.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of, we had a bit of a, we played, in essence, if you imagine, first team goalkeeper, first team midfield and attack, but a makeshift defence a little bit, really.
Yeah. Albion did that as well. Like, they filled in the gaps, basically, with other academy players and stuff.
And they kind of swapped it for the second game, where they had the first team defence, but with the rest of it not quite first team. So it's a bit of a weird one, but it wasn't a... The first game was not a convincing display.
Right.
It wasn't. Moments of good play seemed quite shaky at the back, understandably, and quite frustrating and unable to keep the ball at times, actually. Yeah. I found it quite a hard watch. I thought we were lucky to get the first goal. Mateta scored in the 38th minute, launched the corner flag as normal, and then they made it 1-1 in 58 minutes. I think, look, they're a good team, right? These are...
Mainz, yeah.
Good team. So I think... It was the 1-1 was about right in terms of the result in the end because we kind of got our stuff in gear. But when you take into account that Henderson made three brilliant saves, ironically all with his feet. It was, you know, one of them where he shouldn't have got it. He stops him. So if he hadn't have kept us in it, it would have been a completely different game. And when a keeper can kind of affect a game that much, you're kind of thinking maybe we're a bit lucky. We shouldn't be relying on him that much.
Yeah, I get you.
So there we go. But yeah, Gaye and Lacroix were missed at the back. And there's a reason why they play in that position, right? Then the second game came on. You got Benitez, the new signing goal. Lacroix, Gaye, Kamada, Sosa, Nketiah, Essay.
So,
still not the first team, but the first team defence.
Stronger again, though.
And then this game was a hard watch, a really hard watch. I thought it was really bad, really sloppy passing, unable to deal. They were really pressed. They were really pressing team.
Right.
Like, we went 3-0 down in 35 minutes.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And this was only an hour-long game again.
Yeah.
Blimey.
3-0 down in 35 minutes. And guess what we did? Do you remember that time when I started getting frustrated?
That one time you got frustrated?
Well, no. You know, do you remember last season when we went for a little bit of a tough patch and I was getting really annoyed with Nketiah?
Oh, yeah. Blimey, yeah.
And I'd go, I gave him the benefit
of
the doubt.
It's one of my favourite moments.
Yeah, because we were playing the game as if Mateta was on the pitch, but it wasn't. It was Nketiah.
Yes.
And so we're still playing as if he's on the pitch.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But he ain't. And they're two completely different players. But we still hadn't learnt that in this game. So we were still playing them long balls, long through, but Nketiah just can't deal with them. He needs the ball on the floor. He needs to run onto the ball. And yeah, it just wasn't working. So I started losing my stuff and got really annoyed. And then we had this big late throw at the end, which we ended in a 3-2 loss.
Right, okay. You got
restored our dignity with Essay, the Kit Roman essay that we signed from Millwall.
Yeah, he's looking
We're
good.
Hoping he's going to have his breakout season this year because I think he will get some minutes now with the
Especially
multiple.
When Eze bit's old, yeah.
He won't, he's not going anywhere. And LaCroix gave us back our dignity a little bit. So, yes, it wasn't a disaster, but not quite what I was looking for in that
game.
No,
okay.
And then we move on to Uzberg. Is that how you pronounce it? You happy with that?
Yeah, that'll do.
Yeah? Which was our second game in this tour. Now, this was a bit more of an interesting one. It was what I would class as probably our full first team lineup.
Oh, okay. Was it a 90-minute game, that one?
No, it was still the 260s.
Oh, right, okay.
Game one, as I said, first team lineup. We won the game 3-1. Goals from Mateta and a goal from Eze. Again, picking up where we left off.
Yeah.
Up front and midfield, we're looking really, really strong. Uzberg got a consolation prize from a kind of the last kick of the game. What I did love from this game, I don't know if you've seen it online, was there was a brilliant set piece. Eze kept getting, you know, the little niggle kicks, the pushing off. There was a lot of that going on with these German teams. And I've never seen it before, but Eze nearly squared up to one of them.
No, really?
Which is very unlike Eze.
In a pre-season as well.
You could see it was one of them, you're going to injure me in a minute.
Clearly
and this ain't going to
frustrated
you get
still
what I mean?
Playing for Palace. Yeah.
No, not at all. He will continue to as well. You watch this space. But anyway, they did this for, it was free kick, kind of maybe 10 yards outside the box.
Right.
Everything lined up as you normally would for the ball to come in. Eze plays a direct pass to Mateta, who stood in front of the keeper on the floor.
Oh.
Mateta turns, skips past two straight into the back of the net.
Nice.
One off the training field. I'm thinking, absolute genius. Then I'm thinking, why have you done that in a pre-season friendly?
It'll be obvious now, isn't it?
I know, but it was lovely to watch. And it's proof that they are working together. Everyone knows where they are.
Yeah.
I know the magic will happen. It's just hard when we haven't really been able to play these 260-minute games properly because we just don't have the depth for it, really. But there we go. Game two was a very weakened and youthful side. We lost 1-0. But truthfully, I think, look, they put out a good performance. And there's some good young players that have managed to get some good minutes.
Can I ask a quick question then? So I'm just trying to work this out. So,
yeah.
So is that your pre-season over?
Mate, we're done.
You've got Community Shield next week.
We're done. We finished it with a 3-1 win, if you think about it, because the second game was a B team.
I'm just trying to work out, you've only had like 260-minute games. If you think about your first team players, they've had Crawley 2 weeks ago.
We had Millwall. We had Millwall 90-minute game. Then we had Crawley.
Oh, okay.
And then we've had the two
60 minutes
against the German teams.
Okay.
And we would normally, just like you're doing at home, we would normally this weekend have our let's play against one of Texas teams.
It just makes me think that they're going to be using the Community Shield as a friendly as well in their heads, because it doesn't seem like they've done enough 90-minute games to play their first team for 90 minutes, does it? Do you know what I mean?
Timing-wise,
I would have expected a few more sort of full games.
Do you know what? Let's be honest, we know what that squad's going to be for Sunday. Like, the only question really in my head is it Kamada or Hughes as to what style of play we're playing, and is it going to be, are you going to start Mitchell, are you going to start the new signing Sosa? But I'd be very surprised if you go attacking wing backs on both sides, and I don't know, I think we know what we're going to do and we'll pick up where we left off, and we just got to hope that we can tactically have a go at them on Sunday.
Let's talk a little bit more actually about the Community Shield for a second, because
as we're
on it, I mean, you must be excited for a start. Are you going to actually be able to go this time to Wembley? Are you going to make it? Are you?
Yeah, well, I've got
not going to miss it.
No, mate,
Crawley
I've got,
one. I know
got
you missed
tickets,
that,
and I will be there with a crutch.
Nice.
I'm getting right involved. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun day out. It's a little less pressure as well. You know, I mean, a little less nerves, I presume. Surely you're not going to be as nervous as you were for the FA Cup final.
I think, look, the Community Shield's a bit of a different one, isn't it? Because it's, like, we've proved we've won our first bit of silverware. We've done the impossible in a Palace mind, right? And I know that sounds well over the top, but it was.
No,
right?
No.
It was
the
impossible.
Agree.
We've never won anything in my lifetime, right? So I think now we've got an opportunity to, again, prove the doubt was wrong. Because everyone, even my head's going, well, we ain't going to beat Liverpool. But I'm like, oh, actually, we can. Hmm. We can, because it's their first game too.
Yeah.
So, and I think the only thing that potentially might go in our favour, they've had a couple of new additions. Maybe they might not quite
I've never heard of them though, Andy. I mean, that Wurtz guy or Ekitike, I mean, who are they?
Do you know what though? There is that thing.
They might have Alexander Isak by that time as well.
Yeah, but do you know what? Bring it on, because part of me thinks we've got a team that have played together last year and done good things.
Yeah, that's all you've got. Coming, you haven't got any new players.
No, but coming back in, we're not trying to introduce hundreds of new players.
Definitely not.
It's let's go again.
Yeah,
whereas
no,
they,
I get you.
They might not exactly know where they're going to be on the pitch. There might be a few passes to go right, whatever it would be.
I honestly think the game is less important to Liverpool than it is to Palace as well. That's the other thing to think about. I really don't think Liverpool care one way or the other if they win it. I mean, I'm pleased that you're going to get to go to the Wembley again. I really am.
It's the third time. And I know you ain't saying this and all that, but you've got to remember, look, Palace have been to Wembley two times and we haven't conceded a goal, mate. We haven't conceded a goal.
Do you reckon you will this weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
I believe we probably will. Unless, of course, we can do a nice big tactical masterclass on them. But yeah, look, it's our first appearance there in the Community Shield, obviously. And obviously that competition's been run since, 1908, I think, in some form or another.
Yeah, yeah.
And do you know how many times Liverpool have won it?
I dread to think.
16.
16, yeah.
Yeah, 16 times. We'll be wearing our home kit. We're in the same side of Wembley that we were for the last two times, so I've still not seen the other side yet. Even though, as you said, it's the least amount of pressure, but I do believe it's our biggest test in terms of team that we're playing there.
So, come on then, predictions, full-time score, what do you reckon will happen?
1-1.
Okay.
Palace win on penalties.
Oh, wow. Okay, love it. Yeah,
I can't see it being a high scoring, free flowing. Like, it's going to be someone's going to make a mistake.
Okay.
And I just think that I don't know who's going to go first or whatever. Mm. And I'm not like, we're going to win, it's going to be easy.
No.
If we do win, I think it's going to be a very narrow margin. But look, you got to bag yourselves.
Oh, I mean, absolutely, mate. Yeah, no, I get you.
Yeah.
Let's
see.
I'm pleased that you're feeling positive about it. I really am. It'd be even better then to talk about next week when they lose 4-1.
Well, if we do, we do. But we've had another day out of Wembley. When was the last time you were there?
Oh, yes! It's that time again, Andy. I think it's time before we go to talk about the transfer rumours that are going on at the moment.
Plenty of rumours.
Yeah, I know.
Are you going first?
I can do. You want me to?
Yeah, go on. Because obviously, I've had a little chat about Wembley. You haven't been able to do that. So it's your chance to shine now, mate.
Yeah. Brilliant. So, transfer rumours. There was a quote today. Fabian Hörsler was asked directly if he feels there's going to be any more incomings into the Brighton squad. Mm. And he says he doesn't believe there's going to be any more incomings. So that's me definitely thinking there's going to be one more. I still believe there's going to be, I don't know, but definitely. I just still believe that by the end of the transfer deadline day, we would have put a couple of big bids in for someone somewhere. There's going to be something we try our luck with and see if it happens. So we'll have to wait and see. The transfer rumours that I've got from Brighton's perspective is actually outgoings.
Oh, okay.
There's some more that we think are probably going to be leaving. One definite permanent, which is Jeremy Sarmiento, 23-year-old winger, midfielder. He's had a few tries in the first team, but he's made most of his appearances on loan for other teams. So he played for Burnley last season. He played for Ipswich the season before. He's a very good championship level player, and I know there's quite a few teams abroad that are looking at him as well, and it's likely that he's going to seal a permanent move away in the next few weeks. Bologna, I know, is one team mentioned. Mm. And even Atletico Madrid
have
looked at him as well. So it'll be interesting to see what happens to him, but I think he'll be going, and it's fair to him, he doesn't fit at the moment. You've got so many players in his position. The other ones to mention are Malik Yalcui. Looks like he might be going on loan to Toulouse. I was wondering whether he would get a chance in the first team, but it's looking more likely now that he's going to go out on loan, and we'll see how he gets on. Hopefully he'll have a good season and he'll come back ready to go for the first team next season. So, and then last but not least, the one that I'm really depressed about, Andy, I have to be honest, Facundo Buonanotte.
Yeah.
It's starting to look like Borussia Dortmund are ready to make a bid for him and that Brighton are ready to accept a bid for him.
That sounds expensive.
I don't know how much it'll be. He's a young player. He's got a huge amount of potential. There's no definite information coming out anywhere to say that it will be a sale. It could still be a loan, I hope. But I just, it feels like it's going to be a sale. And I'm really depressed about it, mate. I can't lie. I really wanted him to play in the first team. I think he's got such potential. And he's so close to being such a good player, in my opinion, that I can't believe Brighton are going to want to get rid of him. But it looks pretty solid that Dortmund are at least going to be trying to get hold of him for this season. So we'll have to see.
But you know, you run it as a business, right?
To and some degree,
if there's,
yeah.
If there's money on the table and you think you've got a backup plan, then maybe that's the...
Yeah, I get that from the club's point of view. I think it's just a personal thing that I just really like him as a player and I'd like to see him play a proper season as he's still only like 20, 21 years old. He's still young, you know, he's got plenty of time and I just think I wouldn't want to get rid of him. But, you know, this is football, this is the way it is. Maybe we'll get an option to buy him back or something, who knows? But stay peeled for that one. So yeah, Buonanotte to Dortmund, possibly. Yalcui to Toulouse and Sarmiento on the move definitely somewhere, but not sure where yet. And that's it really for us. I think it's all gone pretty quiet, as I said, so we'll have to wait and see. Palace, there must be some rumours for your guys now. Now we know that, you know, you're going to be playing in Europe somewhere, even if you're going to be playing Conference League losers or whoever it is.
Yeah, so bitter. look, there's a couple. I mean, there's plenty out there, but he's trying to pick out one.
Yeah, what ones do you think have got legs?
Martinez, a place for Spanish club Girona. Arguably, okay. Neil, their best player, actually.
Very good player, yeah.
22 years old, described as the complete fullback by many people. He plays kind of right centre back in a three man defence.
Yeah, he's more of I would say that as well. He's more of a centre back in some respects. He's very mobile though, isn't he?
Fast and agile, yeah. Like kind of quite versatile, good positioning, really good tackler and kind of technique, ball control, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like he's got a good future. He made 39 appearances from them last year. Only 3 goals and 3 assists, but obviously from the back line.
Yeah, it's not bad, man.
There's rumours of a £9 million deal.
£9 million, is that all?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good deal, mate.
Yeah. Well, bearing in mind we only spent 3 so far, so we're clearly not looking for big money here.
No one's looking to spend any money at Palace, are they? Blimey.
So £9 million deal, but when I was looking into this yesterday, I wrote these words, looks like a done deal, but today I have seen that Juventus have stepped up their interest. So let's see what happens, but there's certainly a lot more momentum on this one. Obviously, this would be a replacement for Joel Ward, club legend, who obviously left the club at the end of last season. And, well, it initially would deputise for Munoz, wouldn't they? So,
interesting. As you've just mentioned him, Munoz. Has there been any other sort of like blowback from those comments? Anything else going on? Anyone sort of sniffing around him or?
No, it's all gone quiet, mate.
Has it?
Yeah.
That's a bit of good news then for you, isn't it?
No, mate, the club won't let him go anywhere.
No, he signed a new contract as well.
Yeah. It's just silly, isn't it?
Silly comments, but it doesn't help you.
Well, we say silly comments. I mean, I don't know exactly what was said. It wasn't in the right language
for me.
I mean, it could have been, you just don't know, do you? It could have been taken out of context.
Okay, so that looks like there's a possibility, although, like you say, with Juventus sniffing around, that could then go sideways. But we'll have to wait and see on that one.
Yeah, I think judging on how the Borna Sosa thing and the Benitez thing played out, I wouldn't be surprised if the Martinez thing happens in the coming days.
Right.
Now, the next one is Bissek. So Inter Milan, German centre-back.
Oh, yes.
So this is a bit more of an ambitious one, one of which, to be honest, I'm not convinced is going to happen. But there was quite a bit of momentum over the last few days on it.
Right.
€32 million, probably about £28 million. Bid rejected by Inter.
Right, okay.
Now, there was loads of rumours. It's all according to who you listen to. 50% of the media was like interested. 50% were no chance. And the recent stuff that I'm seeing today is saying that he's rejected that move because he wants to stay in, you know, Champions League and all the other bits and pieces. I think that this one is riding on the Gay situation, hence why we haven't done anything particularly about it, and the Diamande situation as well. But there's clearly some kind of traction in this because it's being reported by the people that tend to get things right.
Yeah, I mean, he's of an age where he would hope to be playing first team all the time.
Yeah.
And he's a good prospect. You know, obviously playing for Inter, I mean, what, Champions League football, we got to the final last season, you know, there's a chance, he wasn't playing, but he got a chance to play and things like that. So it's an opportunity for him. And you're right, the rumours are that he wants to stay at the club, but you never know, he might get torn away, you know, he might get, if you get Europa League football, I think that's one of those that could be the deciding factor, you know, you never know.
I really agree. And there was one other one you told me about today, wasn't there, that's been rumbling?
Yeah, that's right. So, I mentioned him actually as a Brighton rumour about 4 weeks ago. And he's been floating around a lot of clubs, I think, by the sound of things. And that's the Nice striker, Evan Guessant.
Yeah.
That looks a little bit more, in the last few hours, that looks a little bit more concrete as a rumour, I would say, that Palace are trying to get a deal done for him. And he's a striker, isn't he? So
yeah, he's a striker. And I think that has, to be honest with you, that one, it's funny you mentioned, because you mentioned that to me tonight. Mm. And that's one that, we go back a week, was circling a lot.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of gone cold for a week and then it's now come back again. Would that be a good deal? Yeah, absolutely. I'd welcome him at the club. Bearing in mind, if we move on now to the rumours out, the one that is looking like it is a done deal is Edouard. Edouard. Okay.
Where's he going?
He's meant to be going to Girona.
Oh, okay. Right.
5 million. We made a loss on that one. But bearing in mind, we shipped him out to Leicester last year and that was abysmal.
Yeah, terrible idea that was.
So it's suggested that he's agreed terms and a deal's been agreed between the two clubs, 5 million for that. So therefore, you'd think that we need another striker. All you've got is Mateta and then you've got Nketiah. I don't for one second believe that Mateta's going anywhere this year.
No, I
know that for a fact. So I'm just... This is about boosting the ranks now. And if Edouard is going out, which I'm pretty confident, probably by the time this pod goes live, that'll be confirmed.
Okay.
The other ones we've got here, rumours out, Malcolm Abioui.
Okay. So I don't know this guy.
No, look, he's made 5 senior appearances since joining Derby in 2022. So I don't know if you remember, back in the days when Wayne Rooney was Derby manager, this kid was in that team that turned things around for Derby. We signed him.
I do remember him. Oh, so he was... So he was a Derby player and then Palace bought him.
We bought him and he was like young, next best thing.
Yeah, right.
He's 21 now and he just, as I said, he's made 5 senior appearances. He joined back in 2022. Mm-hmm. He's been out on loans to Hull City, Molenbeek, Oxford United since joining.
Right.
But the problem is, since he's excelled under Wayne Rooney's team, he hasn't really done it for anybody else. He's had 32 appearances. He's only got 1 goal and 1 assist.
Right.
So bearing in mind he's a forward, you want to get better stats for that, especially dropping down leagues like that. So yeah, I believe that he's going to be joining Blackpool on loan. I think that's pretty much a done deal.
Okay.
Hopefully that'll bring back the old days for him. And then I think, do you know what? The only real, I don't really want to go into this too much, but all I will say is Arsenal fans, back off. Right.
Oh, hello. What's going on now?
Are we going
back to the Eze situation?
Yeah, I'm getting a bit sick of it, Neil.
Are you?
I'm getting a bit sick of it because...
Right. Hang on. Let's get this right.
Go on.
A warning from Andy to Arsenal fans. Go.
Back off. Just back off. I'm getting a bit sick of it about the fact that all I see online and on socials is about... where's Eze going to play and, you know, how, you know, he's coming to his mates and how is it, you know, what we're going to do with it. It's like, mate, you haven't even made a bid for this player and Arsenal fans are talking as if he's already joined. I get it. I understand it's all the circus and all that, but I feel like this one's gone so far that you look on, you Google Crystal Palace, you've got a... go through 50 news articles about Eze joining Arsenal before you even find anything about anything else. And they haven't even made a bid.
No.
Same with Liverpool about Gueye. They haven't even made a bid. And do you know what now? Even this evening, it's really funny because the media started to turn in a slightly different direction now. And you looked at the media in the last hour, they're saying what I've been saying all along, which is the players don't need or even want to leave. They're being linked away. Eze's gone, Arsenal, yeah, I'm up for that. Don't have to, though. Mm. I'm still under contract and I'm having a lovely time.
Yeah.
Gueye, club captain. Do I want to go to Liverpool? Might not start.
It's an interesting one as well, because especially with those two players in particular, they're both English internationals.
Yeah.
Got a World Cup next summer.
Yeah.
And it's a real risk and a real gamble to change clubs, try and either learn new tactics, get into the side, whatever it is, especially if you're taking a step up, and no offence, but if they go to Liverpool or Arsenal, it's going to be a step up, they're going to be playing Champions League. Do they want that extra stress whilst trying to get into the England side? Whereas where they are at the moment, they know the tactics inside out, they're comfortable with the team. Yeah, I get your point, mate, I really do.
They've actually got more to lose than gain, to be brutally honest.
At this moment in time, I think you're probably right.
And I don't think from the me just going, you know, Eze said goodbye to his teammates. It's like, well, who's written that and where have you got that from?
Yeah.
It's all of this sort of stuff. And then now, obviously, there's this kind of like, the 1st of August, there's a release clause that runs out. It gets the 1st of August, and the media's going, actually, the release clause was the 16th of August now, not the 1st. It's like, just everybody shut up. No one's actually made a bid for these two players. They are currently Crystal Palace players. You can speculate and you can talk all you want because that's the game and what we're playing. And what
I'm
doing to other players, I get it, but this is ramped up a little bit too far now, guys, because no one's actually made a bid for these players. And I don't think they're going anywhere. Work it out, Neil. If they were going somewhere, we would have signed some bloody players, wouldn't we? We're going to go from 17 in the squad to 15.
I don't know, mate. I think the way you're going, I haven't got a clue what you're doing.
They're not
to be
going
honest.
Anywhere. Trust
okay.
me.
Okay. Well, we will see, won't we? We will definitely see by the end of, thankfully, the good thing about all of this is that by the end of the month, everything will be closed. I think it's the 1st of September, the actual deadline. So we'll know by then one way or the other. But I do take your point. Hey, Arsenal fans listening, because we get a lot of those listening, back off, Andy said.
I'll hit you with my crutch. That's it. Thanks for listening to another episode of Seagull Eagle.
Make sure you're following us on the socials, X, Facebook, TikTok, and don't forget YouTube.
We'll be back next week to see if Palace finally open their wallet and if Brighton are still hoovering up youth talent like it's a Black Friday sale.
We'll also dive into the CAS appeal. Will Palace get their way and be reinstated into the Europa League? Or will UEFA hit unsubscribe again?
We've got the lowdown on Brighton's friendly against Wolfsburg and Palace's trip to Wembley for the Community Shield.
And we'll be unveiling our Premier League predictions and fully expect them to age like a pint of milk left in the sun. See you next week.
Eagles!